and welcome to the Crossroads Career Podcast. Crossroads' mission is to help people find and follow Jesus Christ through Crossroads in their careers. We work to do this by educating, equipping, and encouraging people to hear God calling, maximize their potential, and get the right job.
I'm your host, Laura, here with our guest for this episode, Dale Kreienkamp. Dale is an author, speaker, and consultant, and is the president and CEO of Thriving Through Transitions, a consultancy focused on helping individuals and organizations successfully navigate difficult personal and professional transitions and to become better through the process. He's got over 40 years of experience as a human resources executive and consultant. He wrote a book called How Long, O Lord, How Long? Devotions for the Unemployed and Those Who Love Them. After he personally experienced a journey of unemployment twice, where his positions were eliminated in organizational restructuring. As a result, Dale has developed a strong desire to help others impacted by life challenges and unexpected transitions. We're so happy to have him on the Crossroads Career Podcast today and hope that this episode is just really encouraging and meets you right where you're at. Hello and welcome to the podcast. Will you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you?
I'm Dale Kreienkamp. Laura, I'm so happy to be with you and your audience today. I am in St. Louis, Missouri. This is home for me, born and raised here. Blessed to be married to my wife, Deb, for 43 years. We have three sons, blessed with five grandchildren, and number six is on the way. So life on that part of the world is wonderful. My professional background was always in the area of human resources. I did that corporately for a little bit over 40 years. And my claim to fame in that 40 plus years is I had really two jobs and both of them were eliminated.
Okay.
Hence my love and passion for those that are going through unemployment.
Absolutely. And you have written a book that we're going to talk some about today, in addition to your experience that you've got to share with us as well, called How Long, O Lord, How Long? Devotions for the Unemployed and Those Who Love Them. So I understand that part of the reason that you've done this is because of your own experience with your jobless, with your positions being eliminated. Can you tell us a little bit more about the jobless journey and how now you have this book that you've written and all of that?
Absolutely. The journey began for me when I was the head of human resources for a large hospital. And I was meeting with our chief operating officer. We were going through a restructuring, which is, of course, a nice way to say people were going to lose their jobs. And we had identified 25 leaders that were going to lose their job. We were starting with leadership. And my job was, how do I help 25 leaders have that conversation with 25 people on their team and say, you don't have a job and you didn't do anything wrong? How do I support those 25 people losing the jobs? And how do I help us as an organization come to grips with what does this mean for us?
Yeah.
At the end of the conversation, he looked at me and he said six little words that really changed my life. He said, your name is on the list.
With those six little words,
I became unemployed after 25 years with the organization. Now, having a career in human resources, I understood a little bit about the job search process, was comfortable with writing resumes, interviewing, but there was something about this journey that I knew would be different, and I went looking for something that was going to help me spiritually through this, that understood what I was going through, and I didn't find it. Ultimately, I went into consulting and did that for 5 years, hired by one of my clients, did that for 10 years. And then that job was eliminated. Still couldn't find a book that really spoke to the spiritual side, and I would say the emotional side. And so I decided to write that book. And so what I have is 80 devotions that speak to much more of what I would call the emotional side of the journey. That doesn't minimize the importance of, gee, how do I write a resume? How do I interview? How do I network? Those are all really important things. But for many people, the journey is an unexpected journey. They get that your name is on the list like I did, and they weren't expecting it. And that becomes hard for them, and they have to deal with a lot of emotions. And it's that emotional up and down that's the most difficult for people because we just don't talk much about our emotions. We're supposed to have our act together. And so my book really speaks to the emotional side and then also speaks to the faith-based side. And so the person that doesn't know Jesus Christ has a chance to get to know him. the person that had a relationship but kind of said, Lord, I'm doing fine. I don't need you. I'll call you when I do. It's all of a sudden dialing 911 saying, Lord, I need you. Mm-hmm. And there are people that have a great relationship with their Lord, as I did, who said, I still need you even more, and we got to go deeper. And the book really helps. So it's there to provide help, hope, and healing for people that are going through this unexpected journey.
Yeah. Well, that's super important. I mean, as I've talked to people here on the podcast and then in the life of my family, my dad has gone through unexpected job loss and transition. My husband got told on a Friday that was his last day a few years ago. And it wasn't because of anything he'd done wrong. They were downsizing. They had too many people. He was on the list. That emotional side of it, and especially having to do the practical side of it while experiencing the emotional side of it. And job searching really requires you to have a clear sense of self and to present a very confident face saying, I can do this thing. And sometimes when you have that job eliminated, you're not real sure that you can do this thing anymore. It can be really, really challenging. So yeah, all of that is very important. And I'm really glad you've got that resource out there for people.
It's so hard, Laura, for people when they lose a job, they feel a sense of rejection. Mm-hmm. And there's, even though it wasn't my fault or your husband's fault or whoever, it wasn't our fault, there's still a bit of shame and embarrassment that goes with it, that I'm the unemployed guy. Mm-hmm. I don't have a job. And everybody's wondering, well, what happened here? That's just a normal feeling. And so often people hang on to the past and some anger, which is hard to get past. And if you can't let go of the past, it's hard for you to do what you aptly and correctly said is, we have to have our act together when we're out searching. Because if we don't, the interviewer can tell, and the interviewer is going to say, I don't know that you're ready, I'm not interested. So how do you deal with these emotions so that they don't trip you up as you go through the search process? Very important.
Yeah. Well, there's like five different directions I want to go right now, but you mentioned, and I've got this question that's kind of random, but I wanted to touch on it, being the unemployed guy. I understand that when you were going through job transition, you didn't really particularly like telling people that you were unemployed. And so you chose to say that you were on sabbatical. What does sabbatical mean, and why was that significant to you in times of transition? Why did you decide to tell the story that way as you were going through that?
Great question. I did it because I didn't like being unemployed.
Yeah.
I was uncomfortable telling people I was unemployed, between jobs, transition, whatever word you want to mean. It meant I was in a place in space and time where I didn't want to be. Mm-hmm. So I used the word sabbatical, which is really a period of rest and recharging for someone. So we often see them in the world of academia or in the world of ministry. And it's a chance to kind of stop, take a step back, recharge the batteries, and get ready for what's next. And that is really what this transition time should be about for people. Yet we so often want to immediately rush to get a job, mm-hmm. that we don't come down from where we were. We don't get a chance to rest and recharge and even rethink what's next for me. We just immediately want to go get a job. So I would use that, which of course, always brought people to ask a few more questions.
Sure.
So I did certainly admit that, yes, I was between jobs. But I also needed to kind of reframe my own thinking, rather than thinking about being the unemployed guy, that I was at least the person who was on sabbatical, recharging and getting ready for what's next. Because I knew God had something. I just didn't know what it was, and I didn't know when it would come.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, in some ways, what started as maybe a bit of a PR spin for you may have actually turned into a bit of a mindset shift of, I am taking this time to rest and recharge and refocus and relaunch, whereas it was focusing it differently than I'm unemployed. And I don't know, sometimes we believe the stories that we tell ourselves. So if that's the story that you were telling yourself, I wonder how that changed what your experience ended up being during that time.
I think it helped. It didn't magically change anything around,
yeah.
But we truly do need to look at things as an opportunity. And that's so hard for us, mm-hmm. because we're caught up in what happened to us. And yet we've got to reframe and refocus on where we're going, because we can't control what happened. People often want to know why. That's the question you hear everybody say. I just want to know why this happened. Well, the reality is, it doesn't matter why, you're still going to be unemployed. The real question is, what's next? What do I do with this? And that takes some reframing and refocusing on moving forward. So yes, it was my attempt to do a little bit of reframing. And reframing is something that job seekers need to get better at doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So you had mentioned that you are in your book focusing on more of the emotional side. You refer to the fact that it's organized by topic using a change curve approach. Can you tell us a little bit more about that change curve and how it aligned with your own experiences, what people can learn from that?
Yeah, the change curve really came from Dr. Elizabeth Kübler-Ross, who wrote a book, Death and Dying. And the curve really dealt with what happens when someone learns that they have a terminal disease. How do they deal with that? And it begins with denial, anger, and at some point you get to the bottom of the pit and then you kind of accept where you are and you start moving forward. That's been adapted into business, and I used it because that's really the journey that people have. When they first learn they've lost a job, there's anger at that. There's even denial that it happened. I've had people not tell their spouse or family for weeks as if they could just let it go and it would never come to light. And at some point in time, you accept that this really did happen. And that's important because you can't move forward if you're continuing to look backwards. So we have to accept what happened. And then it's, okay, now, how do we use this? Where do I go? How do I use my gifts and skills that God equipped me with? There's an opportunity out there, and now I need to go find it. And we start to get the momentum going up. I found that it worked for me, and in talking to other people, everybody kind of goes through that. Now, there are people that deny that they have any problems. They're going to put on that face that everything is good. But I'm here to tell you deep down, they're dealing with the same thing.
Sure. And I mean, some of us may go through those stages more dramatically or recurrently than others. But I think it's very fair to say that the stages of grief kind of thing does apply here for sure.
Yeah, job loss is something we grieve. If you loved what you did and loved where you worked and the people you worked with, you're going through a grief process.
Yeah, or even if just liked making money and having stability in your life. I mean,
sure. Yeah, but grief is about both loss, but it's about the loss of what would be. Mm-hmm. And most of us are dreaming about, well, what's my next position? Or I'm going to take this job until I retire or until this happens. And so all of a sudden that loss really messes with us and kind of messes up our plans.
Yeah. You know, I heard it said one time, and it means so much to me, that grief is reaching for something that's not there. And it's that feeling that you feel. And it's that, you know, sometimes it's like when you're going down the stairs, like if you're reaching for a banister and it's not there, or if you missed a step and you get that like feeling that happens to you. I just think it's such a good description of it. And in a job search, you know, or a job loss and then job transition, there's something that's not there anymore, and you're going to reach for it sometimes, and you're going to find it not there, and you're going to get that icky feeling in that. So
it's unsettling.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's unsettling. Yeah.
So your book, the subtitle is For Those Unemployed and Those Who Love Them. And I know that part of what we wanted to talk about today is the role of the spouse or the loved ones in a job transition. Will you talk about why that's important and why that made it into part of what you want to address in your book?
Yeah, it comes from my own experiences with my wife. And I would say that most spouses are forgotten in the job search. So I'm an extrovert, and I was well known by people at my church and other social circles. And people would come up to my wife and they would say, how's Dale? How's the job search? And they'd never once say, Deb, how are you doing? Hmm. And yet she was going through the same challenges that I was. She was just in a different seat on our journey as she looked at it. So when you think about it, if a person loses a job and they've got fear and worry about what's next, you know, where are we going to make the money? How are we going to pay the mortgage? Your spouse is worried about the same things. Mm-hmm. But they are so often forgotten. The other reason that I wrote that as a subtitle is these devotions are really a glimpse of what someone is going through. And oftentimes the spouse and friends don't really understand what that person is going through. Mm. And I wanted them to get a better glimpse of that, because when you do, then you can be a better spouse, a better friend to help.
Yeah.
I had one spouse who read the book. She sent me the nicest note. She said, "Thank you for writing it. I have not been a good spouse for my husband because I wanted him to search for a job and do things that were important to me, but that's not where he was and not what he wanted. And when we finally talked about it and I understood the issues he was going through, we were better able to come to a comfort and a peace and how I could better support him."
Yeah.
And I think that's important in a job search. Communication's important and expectations are. If you're the person who has lost the job, it feels like it's all about you, but it's about your family too. So you need to be able to say, here is what my search is. Here are the things I'm doing, so that they're part of it and they know what to do. A big thing in job searching is networking. We get out and meet with people. A friend of mine said his wife asked him one time, why are you just having cups of coffee with people? When are you going to look for a job? And he realized at that time he'd never sat down and said, well, here's what I'm trying to accomplish here. Turns out he did end up finding his job through a network.
Yeah.
And in fact, he found a job that wasn't even posted and they created it for him. So networking is important, but if I don't tell my spouse what I'm doing and why I'm doing it, there can be confusion.
Yeah.
And so the book was written with that in mind. How do we help people better understand each other so that we can better support each other?
Sure. You know, it's interesting because I've been through job transition as a spouse, also my own self. And it's wild. I mean, I know the one time, you know, I mentioned earlier that my husband got laid off, and I think there were times in that process where I was madder about it than he was, because he had action points. You know, he got to go out and job search and stuff like that. He was working through the process, and I mean, there was really little that I could do about his job search. I couldn't apply for jobs for him or interview for jobs for him. So I only was carrying the emotional component of it, which is not to be minimized, but that was my only part in it. And I'm still madder at that organization than he is, because he has the whole like perspective now of, you know, that was an important part of my career and it brought me to this next job that I had and it's good and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, he's a good guy and you guys got rid of him. And how dare you? And I still kind of have that. And I've had to work through kind of forgiving them of like, how could you possibly just decide to let him go? You people that I do not like.
And the spouse is, boy, that's an ideal one to talk about. The anger is often at how could you treat the person I love like that? And that person gave up time with me and with our family and whatever else to be dedicated to the job. And now you just eliminate her job or his job or whatever. And so there is certainly some pain goes on for the spouse. And what I tell people all the time is, if you know somebody who's unemployed, you absolutely should reach out to them and connect. But please also pick up the phone and call the spouse and say, how are you doing with the journey? Yeah. And they may say, great, we're in a good place and all that. But just that somebody cared will be really important for them.
Yeah, I think that's totally accurate. And I mean, I know the temptation sometimes is to just kind of bunker up and not reach out and not tell people how you're doing. And I think it's really important to do that, even if it's anti my own nature to do so. So yeah, definitely. As we're talking through like the job loss, job transition for you, I have three questions that I really like to ask, and they are: what was hard? What brought you hope? And what did you learn in the process? So if you would go there with me.
Absolutely. The what was hard question. Was it hard? Yes, absolutely. It's hard because I lost control. I'm a type A, be in control person, and I was out of control, number one. The second part that was hard for me was my identity was wrapped up in my job. So that's also going to be one of the answers to number three, is what did I learn probably too much It was the identity of who I was. And the third was probably the hard part were the emotions, because I just didn't think I was going to experience those emotions. This was a job search. And most people assume this is a transaction. I'm going to go out and this is a process and I'll work the process. We don't understand the other part of it. And dealing with grief. So I loved both organizations that I worked for. I loved the teams that I worked with. I loved the mission. So all those things were good, and to all of a sudden lose those, yeah, I went through a grief, and that was hard.
Yeah.
You know what brought me hope? I was blessed with a wonderful network of friends and family who cared about me and my faith. And so I never lost the hope and the sight that there was something coming. The challenge was I just didn't know what.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, when you're a type A person, you're used to having the answers. That was certainly a little bit hard. What did I learn? Well, what you learn is you're stronger than you think you are as you go through anything like this. You also learn that God's with you. People come out of nowhere to help you that you don't know or that you haven't seen in a long time. And that's really neat. And what I tell people all the time is, look, I don't wish unemployment on anybody.
Yeah.
It is a tough period of time in your life. But I wouldn't trade it for anything either, because I met people, I grew, my relationship with my spouse, my family got better. It's just something that I'm glad I went through it, but it is not easy when you go through it.
Yeah. Well, and then, I mean, there are tons of people every year that go through this. Let's talk a little bit about that. So, I mean, normal year, it's a lot. And then this past 18 months or so, the amount of job transitions that have been foisted on people for reasons, mainly the global pandemic, has been even more than normal. So talk about that with me.
Absolutely. We don't know how big unemployment is in this country until a pandemic year makes people realize it is a big thing. Let me just take a normal non-pandemic year. So if you think about 2019, all right, the year before the pandemic, the best economy in 50 years, there were 21.7 million job losses. So that's layoffs, discharge, job eliminations, 21.7 million. Now, to put in perspective for you what 21.7, because we kind of lose sight of what that really is.
Yeah.
I live in the state of Missouri. That's every man, woman, child in Missouri, the state of Illinois to my east, and the state of Kansas to the west. If you add up every man, woman, and child that lives there, that's the number of job losses that there were in 2019.
Yeah.
21.7 million happens to be the 10-year average for the decade prior to that.
Okay.
During the pandemic, we had job losses of just about 40 million people, 40 million job losses. So that's significant. Now let's compare that 21.7 million to something else. We have about 2.6 million deaths in this country in a normal year. Take the pandemic off, 2.6 million. We got about 1.7 million people who are diagnosed with cancer. And yet we've got 21.7 million job losses.
Yeah.
And we always report job loss information in percentages. And we think, well, gosh, if 5% of the people are unemployed, it means 95% are working. So that's good. But for those 5%, it's
not good. Yeah.
And it's trying to find the right match. So there's a lot of people every year that go through it. And I think it's important that we just stay attuned to it and that we reach out and help people when they're going through, because chances are statistically, we're all going to go through it a couple times in our career, help others, and they'll be there to help you.
Yeah. Because on the one hand, it's a fairly natural part of being a person who has a job. I mean, it's probably going to happen to you at some point, but that doesn't make it any easier. I mean, having a friend who has cancer is also a natural part of life, but that doesn't make that any easier either. And yeah, so I think that totally makes sense. And I mean, that's why you're doing what you're doing. That's why Crossroads is doing what Crossroads is doing, is the sheer number of people that are experiencing job loss, or just even not losing a job, but not loving what they're doing and going through that whole process of what we need to do next. Those people don't show up in the 21.7 million number.
Correct. Yes, you're absolutely right.
And there's lots of those people too. I mean, Gallup statistics suggest that up to half the population in the working force at any one time doesn't love what they're doing and would like to be doing something else. And yeah, so.
They all want to be a podcast host like you.
I mean, it's living the dream, really.
You're living the dream.
And I mean, being a podcast host is hard work too. I mean, I hate editing. I wish I liked it, but I don't. But I love the conversations and I love all the things that come from podcasting. So I'm willing to do the things that I don't like so that I can do the things I do like. But yeah. But I mean, I went through a weird, I left a job because it wasn't a good fit anymore. And then was working at a coffee shop for a while in the spring of 2020, just doing something so that I could figure out what I actually needed to be doing. And then we had a pandemic and the coffee shop closed. I lost my coffee shop job thanks to the pandemic, like, which is a weird sort of unemployment to be going through. But I mean, it was really, I wouldn't have ever used that label, the sabbatical, like you talked about earlier, but there was some serious amount of getting okay with being with my own self and coming to a better clarity of who I am and what I should be doing in the world. And then things just sort of happened after that. And I don't have like a really clean, clear cut story. Things came together and developed. And now I'm kind of doing some things at my house and it's working for me. It's an adventure.
Well, but Laura, we too often think that, first of all, life is linear, that if I do this, this will happen. So if I go get this good education, I'll get a good job and I'll climb the ladder and I'll just jump from company to company. And therefore, we're kind of unprepared when the unexpected happens, which is something like a job loss.
Yeah.
The other is we sometimes begin to believe that there's one thing that I'm going to do for my entire career. Mm-hmm. And that's not true either. In fact, it may be a series of stepping stones that lead you to what you do. That doesn't discount what people do for a long period of time. I went into human resources. That was actually my undergrad education. And I've loved it and it worked really well for me. But I have friends that got into the profession after three other professions mm-hmm. before they found what they really love to do. And we need to get more comfortable with that, that there are going to be stepping stones along the way. And it might look different, but I'm here to tell you, there is no book out there that says this is how you have to do it.
Yeah.
This is your race. This is my race. In Hebrews, it's the race marked right out for us. And so we want to stay with it and see where God takes us.
Yeah. And I mean, God doesn't waste our experiences either. I mean, I don't know that I could have told you when I started doing the student newspaper in college, at my small Christian college, that 6 years later, I would be using interview skills on a daily basis. I didn't know that. I didn't know that I needed to have interviewing skills to draw people's stories out and to get to know people in a, you know, a 30 minutes, an hour space. But I do it all the time now. And without that experience, I wouldn't be as equipped to be doing the experience I'm doing right now. And it's just, it's really interesting, those things that get planted along the way. And I mean, that's just one example from my short but highly varied little career that I have got going on right now. So,
you know, Laura, life is kind of like a book. So books have chapters and chapters end. And one little nugget of information, something that happens in an earlier chapter, doesn't really mean much until later. And that's the way it is in life. And, you know, the further down we get in our life, we look back and we go, oh, yeah, now I know how to do this because I went through this experience, or I can help someone else because I went through that.
Yeah. I mean, so often God gives us opportunities to do that. And I mean, that's what you're working on doing with this book and the things that you're up to these days, is taking the thing that you went through that God is teaching and taught you and try and help others with it. And I think that makes things worth it when your hardest thing can become a ministry opportunity to help someone else with something that's hard. Okay, so your book isn't necessarily about how to find a job, but based on your experience in human resources and in writing your book, what advice do you have to offer to job seekers who might be going through that right now?
First of all, I would say job seekers need to do a better job of letting the world know that they're unemployed. That's really hard.
Yeah.
Because we're dealing with that shame and embarrassment. I got cut from the baseball team in high school. It was before social media, but if social media existed, I wouldn't put a post out there that says, "Hey world, I got cut."
Yeah.
But people can't help you if they don't know. Mm-hmm. And I talk to people all the time that you need to let your network of people know that you're out of work and what you're looking for and how they can help you. And they will. When you send out that type of message, which I've done, people then reach out and say, "Let's get together for lunch. Let me see how I can help you. Where can I take your resume on your behalf? How can I, you know," and but they need to know.
Yeah.
The flip side of that is when you don't do it, and I will admit the first time I went through unemployment, I was not very good at it. The first time I went through it at about 6 or 7 months, people would stop me and say, "I just heard you were out of work." We had, use the word had, a great opening at our company, or I knew about a great opening, past tense, but they didn't know I was out of work.
Yeah.
So that becomes really important. The second thing is take some time to think through what's next. Don't rush to just say, "All right, I want the same type of job with a similar company within the same industry." Mm-hmm. Open your heart and mind to say, "What are my gifts and skills? How might those best be used? Is there something that'll challenge me more? Is it a different industry? Is it time to go into business for myself? Do I need to go back to school?" But wrestle with that so that you're comfortable with wherever you're going to go to make that happen. The third thing I think becomes important is, yes, you need a resume. But people sometimes overstress about a resume. There is no such thing as a perfect resume. You're going to create a resume, and everybody who show it to you is going to give you their nickel's worth of advice about your resume. If every time you give somebody's opinion, get their opinion, you go change your resume, you're going to go nuts.
Yeah.
So you have to be comfortable with what you've put together. Listen to what they say. If there's some value in that, tweak it. But accept that there's no perfect resume. That's just to get somebody interested in talking to you, and that they may have multiple resumes. Mm-hmm. The first time I lost my job, I'd been with a relatively large company. I found that small companies didn't want to talk to me when they saw the big numbers in my resume about what I had done. I had to create a resume that kind of strips some of those numbers out before I would get conversations with smaller companies.
Interesting.
Or changing industries. The fourth thing is really going to be networking. It is important to meet people. And I tell people, take a list of all the people that you know and break it down and put them in categories. The A category are people who are your friends and acquaintances, people you can be real honest with. The B category are people that you know that have a client base in their work. If I'm a financial advisor, if I'm an accountant, CPA, if I am an attorney, I have clients. Therefore, if I can get and talk to that person has a base of people, they might be able to think, "Oh, they might be able to use you, or I can help connect you." Mm-hmm. The next group would be people you just know are well connected. We all know that person who seems to know everyone.
The extroverts.
You want to make sure you've had that time with that type of person. And then there's everybody else. And start with the people that you know well. My wife is an introvert. She wouldn't love picking up the phone or emailing people to set up these random cups of coffee. Mm-hmm. But if you start with people you know where you can be honest, it'll be okay. You'll work your way. You'll get some confidence that'll allow you to move forward. And the last place that I think becomes so important is don't quit. Stay with the process. Just because you've done networking and applied for jobs, 3 weeks later, you may not have a new job.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean quit the process. It takes a while to plant the seeds to get the information out there to make that happen. So be faithful to it. Faith is an action. So we need to be faithful to God, out there doing it on a regular basis. If we're going in the wrong way, he's going to redirect our steps, but stay with it. And so the biggest boost that I would ever get was when my wife would say to me, thank you for being so faithful to the process. I know the results aren't there, but I just admire that you're staying with it.
Yeah.
Boy, if you're the spouse and can encourage somebody like that, that's really going to be important.
Yeah. Because I mean, it's the effort continuing until the goal is met that gets you there. If you quit doing the thing, the thing's not going to happen. But recognizing that effort, even when the results haven't happened yet, that's really critical. In a slightly different vein, but still on the sort of advice part, is there a scripture or scriptures that are especially helpful to you as you think about a time of transition?
You know, there were three of them that I went to pretty frequently, and they're the ones that I think probably mean the most. So let me start with Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. And in Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, it first says we're saved by grace, not through anything that we did on our own, which is kind of a reminder for me. But it finishes off that we're God's handiwork. So he created us uniquely to do something. Mm-hmm. Well, if I'm God's handiwork, I'm pretty special. And I need to remember that. And when people are unemployed, they often forget how special they are. Mm-hmm. The second one was also from the book of Ephesians. It's Ephesians 3:20. When we are hurt in life, we tend to not want to dream big dreams because, well, gee, I might get hurt again. And Ephesians 3:20 is, to him who can do immeasurably more than we could ever hope for or imagine, to him be the glory. And it was just a reminder to me that my God can do anything, and I just need to just believe in him.
Yeah.
And the last one is Proverbs 3:5-6, which says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And for me, the important part was, and lean not on your own understanding,
mm-hmm.
And he'll make your path straight. Because for me, I kept trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
That's a natural thing. We're living in uncertain times. I've got to figure it out. And I can't. I've just got to accept that my knowledge of what's going on isn't going to be. And so just trust him to let it go, because we just have to be ready to accept God's grace. He's amazing, and he won't let us down.
Yeah. You know, so many times in my spiritual journey, my observation is God is most ready and apparent and there acting in my life when I have reached the end of my rope. When I'm at, okay, I got nothing left. I've done everything that I can. And honestly, I'm learning to reach the end of my rope quicker, to quit sooner, and to say, God, I got nothing. Like, I've tried it all. It's not going to be through my own power. What do you have? Because I can't do this by myself. And especially when you're an intelligent, competent human being who's used to being in control and having it all together and not needing people's help, reaching that point is hard, and we take entirely too long. And it's humbling when it happens. And God is so beautiful and so gracious and so unexpectedly more than we can ask or imagine in that. And it's just so cool to see that. And so my advice is to quit sooner. I mean, not quit. Like we talked about not quitting. Keep doing the thing. But like to reach the end of your own rope faster and say help.
Yeah, Pride gets in the way for all of us, Laura, that we think we should be able to solve this. It's like we're driving the car with Jesus in the back seat and saying, you know, you just sit back there. I got this. And somewhere we have to switch positions. And we aren't necessarily always good at that. And I readily admit that. I write this book having gone through these experiences and felt them all myself. And so I understand them. And I think that's one thing I want people to understand is it is normal in this process to go through these emotional ups and downs, to feel like you don't have the confidence in yourself and your abilities that you did before, to be a bit on the bewildered side, that is not an abnormal thing. You're not crazy. That's part of the process. Mm-hmm. And when you accept that it is, it's a little bit easier for you to then begin to move forward. Now what's next and where do we go?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, this has been wonderful. All of the things that you've brought to the table for us to talk about today. I think this is going to be really encouraging for our listeners. If you would tell us how to find you online, connect with you, buy your book, give us the spiel there.
Great. Laura, people can find my book on my website, and the website is dalecryingcamp.com. So that's dalecryingcamp.com. We ship for free. It's cheaper than Amazon, and we do discounts if you buy more than one copy. You can email me at dale at that address, dalecryingcamp.com.
Perfect.
I do a weekly blog that I would encourage people to do, and my website has a number of different resources that are going to be helpful for people. There's a list of books for people to read during their transition. There is a list of podcasts for people to take a look at and listen to, because it's important to fill our minds as we go through this. Otherwise, Satan gets in there and tells us all sorts of lies.
Absolutely. Perfect. Well, we will be sure to link to your website in our show notes for today's episode, so people can just click right over there if spelling is hard. And we will make sure people get connected with those resources.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of the Crossroads Career Podcast with Dale Kreinkamp. Be sure to check out his book, How Long, O Lord, How Long? Devotions for the Unemployed and Those Who Love Them, and sign up for his emails to get his blog posts that are full of good information and encouragement. I would also encourage you to check out the Crossroads Career blog this month, because we are doing a whole series focused on the different kinds of support that people need during a job search, and a lot of the blog posts are going to line up really well with what Dale and I talked about today in terms of needing support from scripture, needing support to and for your spouse, looking to friends and your family and your personal network, as well as other organizations like Crossroads Career or unemployment agencies and that kind of thing. So we're going to take steps through all of those aspects of the support needed, and we'd love to make sure that you, our listeners, are finding the support that you need wherever you're at in your career journey. If you're interested in getting involved with our connection team as an ambassador or a guide, we would love to have you, and you can get more information on that by emailing me at podcasts@crossroadscareer.org or by visiting crossroadscareer.org/ambassador to register today. Visit our website at crossroadscareer.org for weekly blog posts, monthly webinars, access to free job search tools, and to purchase resources like our You Are Creative for Good Works workbook. You can also download our mobile app to get free daily encouragement, request prayer, and more. Remember that Ephesians 2:10 says we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. May you be blessed this week as you seek to hear God's calling, maximize your potential, and get the right job.